CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Leading the news, opposition groups met with the Egyptian vice president today, but some protest groups say they were not represented, and they're skeptical about what, if anything, came from the meeting. In Cairo's main square, CNN's Ivan Watson reports there is a festive mood.
Everybody seems to really enjoy the spirit of freedom here, saying that the state cannot get to them here, the security forces, and they've even started to use the rocks that they were using to defend their territory against pro-regime protesters. They've started to build street murals.
The protests in Egypt have been going on now for nearly 2 weeks. Iran has closed the trial of three American hikers to the press and the public. The Swiss ambassador to Iran, who represents American interests in the country, was not allowed in. The Americans are charged with spying. A train derailed this morning in northwest Ohio near the community of Arcadia. Some of the rail cars were carrying ethanol. Reporter Christina Williams of WTVG tells us the crash caused a series of fires.
15 to 18 of those cars are still on fire, leaving residents for up to 15 to 20 miles with a big glow from their windows this morning.
This week, the annual Conservative Political Action Conference kicks off in Washington. CNN's Paul Steinhauser says it's expected to draw more than 10,000 activists.
There's controversy this year with some social conservative groups boycotting to protest the inclusion of a pro-gay Republican group. Speaking at the event, many of the Republicans who may run for the White House. The conference ends Saturday with a straw poll for the GOP presidential nomination.
Kickoff for the Super Bowl in Arlington, Texas, just hours away now. CNN's Mark McKay is there and reports that work crews have cleared away ice and snow around the stadium.
Super Bowl officials tell us that all of the parking lots surrounding the Cowboys Stadium will be clear in order for fans to maneuver their way into the stadium area throughout the afternoon to tailgate.
Kickoff set for 5:29 this afternoon, Central Time. This is CNN Radio.
Tuesday on History. Top Shot is back and reloaded. I'm Colby Donaldson, host of History's hit competition series, Top Shot.
I love shooting against bigger, stronger, tougher men.
Each week, we'll put America's best sharpshooters through elimination challenges that will blow you away. From medieval crossbow...
I'm not just a shooter, I'm an athlete.
...to firing from a moving vehicle.
I'm going
to
destroy the competition.
Top Shot, Reloaded. A brand new season starts Tuesday at 10, 9 Central on History, made every day.
If you've been looking for Pandora jewelry, look no further. You'll find it at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared.
Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora bracelets, charms, and earrings from Jared. Jared has an outstanding Pandora collection, literally hundreds of items.
It can only be Jared.
Come to Jared February 3rd through 6th and get a Pandora jewelry roll with your Pandora purchase of $125. See store for details.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Hail to the rescue.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis.
You know, they're not in the Super Bowl.
And it is Super Bowl Sunday, and I figured we are probably, I think it's easy to say, we are the only media outlet of any kind playing Hail to the Redskins on Super Bowl Sunday. That's not a song you're probably going to hear again for another 20 years.
No.
But I wanted to do it because I'm a diehard.
Yeah, you are.
My team ain't playing today.
Die being the important word there.
Welcome to Foodie and the Beast. If you're watching this next Saturday on TBD, the Super Bowl's already happened, but I'm going to give you my prediction, Pittsburgh by three. Okay. So let's talk about today. First up, you know, when you get past kimchi, I'm going to bet a lot of folks around here couldn't name one Korean dish except maybe some barbecue
stuff.
Well,
kimchi's not really a dish. It's like a condiment.
Okay, a condiment. Well, okay. But perhaps, I'm going to say, the least familiar of all the Asian cuisines, Korean is coming on very strong here in D.C. Mm-hmm. And we've got Danny Lee and Jay Kang from Mandu. in with us. We ate at the first Mandu near DuPont Circle, right? I think it was like the first week you opened.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was around the first month, yeah.
Back in the day. I had hair then, I think.
That's why you didn't recognize them when you came in.
Why are you laughing? You should say you have hair now. Anyways, and there's the new Mandu has just opened up in an area that some people call it Nomon, north of Mass Avenue. Some call
it
City
Vista.
No,
they don't. They call it City Vista.
Ask Danny.
They don't call that
Nomon.
The
official term is Mount Vernon Triangle.
Okay. Yeah, Noma is down more, right? Down first.
Actually, no. I think it's Mount Vernon Triangle is part of Noma.
Okay.
I'm still getting...
All right. Well,
I'm still a bit confused.
Let's keep going.
Okay. All right. Well, later on in the show, we are going to be talking about meatless week. Now, we've talked
Where's
about...
Where's the beef?
Hey, where is the beef?
That scared me. We've talked about Meatless Mondays before, but this time we have brought in Amber McDonald, who writes for DC Vegan, and also Doran Peterson of Sticky Fingers Bakery. There is a whole week coming up of meatless activities and meals, and we're going to find out all about it. And who doesn't love olive oil? Many of us...
Olive oil!
Oh, Popeye!
Many of us use it in our cooking and dip our breads in it, but we are going to find out all about it today with Keith Voigt. He is with All Things Olive, and he's also going to be next week at the International Wine and Food Festival, and we are going to find out all about that from him.
And one of my favorite guests is Jordan Harris. He's in with us. He's the winemaker and general manager at Terrera Winery, and he's my favorite because he's such a wonderful guy, but also because he brings great wines.
And he brought his baby today.
Yeah, he brought his baby today, Ethan.
Ethan, yeah, first time.
Baby Ethan. But we're going to be talking, everybody knows the line, Virginia's for Lovers. We're going to be sampling Terrera's great lineup of wines and talking about some of the fun events coming up there. I think Jordan's in to prove today that Virginia is definitely for wine lovers. Is that fair?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, well, let's start with you. Let's start grilling you first, man.
All right, cool. All
right, so what do you pour? What is this?
This is a Honolulu Viognier. It's a single vineyard. A lot of the wines we're coming out with now are based on their vineyard as opposed to promoting the grape variety, per se. Kind of leads into the whole Virginia wine lover. You know, we have to be proud of the vineyards that we have and really showcase them and the growers. So Honolulu is a neat little vineyard that it's in Orange. Just great spot, and we really think the Viognier with a little bit of Roussan in here as well.
It smells delicious.
Yeah. It's great. Okay.
So now let me ask you a question. When you say single vineyard, are grapes grown on the Terrera properties, or how does it work? Explain it to us.
No, we have several different vineyards that we work with. We'll contract out a certain acreage. We try to do that as opposed to working by tons, which is how most things get priced, so that we can really work the land the way that we think it's best. But single vineyards, it's vineyards from all around the state really trying to showcase the terroir or the sense of the place as opposed to the grape variety more so. So you'll see our wines, as opposed to being labeled, you know, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Viognier, or Chardonnay, for the most part, what we're doing is we'll name them Honolulu, Tranquility, Navaya, and as we find other vineyards that we think work really well, then we'll also name them for those. And they tend to be blends of varieties that best showcase the site.
Okay, so, but this is considered a Viognier, but it's not strictly the Viognier grape?
Yeah, it has some Roussan in there as well.
Okay.
This is the last time this will get labeled as having Viognier. In the future, it'll be Viognier, Roussan with some Petit Manseng, but it's all about showing the site. It's a great southern exposure site, so it gets really ripe fruit, a lot of sunlight. There's some gravelly components to it. It's a steep slope, very windy, so it keeps bright acidity as well. The site than the variety.
But so then when we drink this wine, what should we be looking for as far as the notes of the wine?
I find the Honolulu Viogniers, they tend to have very floral and ripe fruit as well, characters. But this underlying minerality.
You can taste it on the finish.
Yeah, it's just kind of, it's more, you know, it gets that ripe fruit from that great sunlight, but the, you know...
I only understood.
You're like losing him.
I understood about every fourth word. You lost me a terroir, which I guess means dirt in French, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, okay. For those of you. Okay, so while you're pouring your next wine, let's turn to the guys from Mandu. Danny, when we did first meet you, I think your mom was in the kitchen cooking, and she's still the executive chef for the restaurant?
She still is. She's running both kitchens.
Is she?
Is she racing back and forth? What's she doing?
Right now, since we... you know, we've been lucky enough to have been open for about 4 years at the original location, over 4 years. It's, you know, our staff there is pretty solid. So with the City Vista location, you know, we're both her and I have been there almost, well, have been there every day. from open to close. And, you know, look, we found Jay as well to be our kitchen manager.
What do you mean you found him? What,
was he just on the streets? Where was he?
Lying out in the gutter?
I saw him walking down the street with that hairband. And I was just like, I need him in my kitchen.
That is my guy. I want him.
But no, you know, my mom's been in the new kitchen. You know, it's a brand new environment for us. State-of-the-art, beautiful new kitchen. And but with that, you know, we're still getting used to that surrounding. The 18-inch location is such a small space, but you know, sometimes smaller is better because, you know, everything, you know exactly where everything is. You know, it's running really well.
You know how to move it.
Yeah. Well, I want to start at the start. I want to ask a question about kimchi, because remember the guys on MASH, Hawkeye Pierce, would always say, we're in deep kimchi. And that's about
I think, recall him saying that at all.
Because you were too young.
But I did remember watch actually MASH. Seeing MASH. Do you remember? Does anybody else? See, even Andy doesn't remember. I think you're making it up.
The heck with all of you. Okay. But what is kimchi?
Well, kimchi is fermented pickled cabbage, Napa cabbage.
Yum.
So is it really a condiment, or can you eat a bowl of
it
kimchi?
It is the main staple of the Korean diet.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well.
But isn't it? Is it used as a condiment?
Or, it's used well, you know, we have something called panchan.
She is wrong.
Okay, can you back up? Sorry. I can't say.
We have something called panchan, which is basically the Korean version of like an American relish platter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just comes out, you know, to accompany your meal. And it's... you know, pretty much served for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Right.
So kimchi, again, is the main part of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure if condiments are right. I don't know what
Don't try and soften it now.
I would just call it side dish.
You're going to have to come closer to the mic.
I would call it just a side dish.
A side dish?
So that's
okay.
Right in the middle.
Something
that
kind of accompanies the meal.
You're going to have to get closer here.
Kind of adds to the meal.
Uh-huh.
But
well, let's talk about Korean cuisine as a... from the get-go to begin with. I mean, there's not a ton of Korean dining here in D.C., and I think some people really don't know a lot about it. So as you were developing your initial menu for the first mandu, mm-hmm. How were you planning on introducing the dining public in D.C. to your food?
The menu was based off of my mom's family recipes. Mm-hmm. You know, she obviously grew up in Seoul and has been cooking her entire life. And when my sister and I were growing up, you know, she was the one who was hosting all the dinner parties with all her friends, and none of the other Korean mothers or family friends dared to bring food to my mom's house because, you know, she would, you know.
She was the cook.
Yeah, she was known as the best.
Is she scary?
No, you know, if you've met her, you know, she's a very, very, very.
What about Jay? Is she scary?
I've seen her somewhere.
Be careful. but no, you know, the first menu was tiny. Mm-hmm. I think we had about maybe a third of the dishes that we have now
mm-hmm.
on the menu. And part of it was because we were new and we weren't used to.
Volume.
You know, the volume.
Well, let's talk specifics, though. Where did you start from a menu perspective, and where are you now?
Yeah, because your menu at the City Vista building is quite extensive. I mean, you have a lot on there.
The main staples of the original menu were the mandu, which we called, you know, the Korean dumplings.
Mm-hmm.
The dosa bibimbap, which is to this day our almost signature dish.
For next week's TV audience.
There you go. It's so beautiful.
I look like Vanna.
And then we do feature the Korean barbecue dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, when they talk about Korean food, only know of Korean barbecue and Korean cuisine. And that's what we wanted to change, was the procession of Korean food to the general American public, was that it's not just, you know, a grill on the table and barbecue. There's a lot more to Korean cuisine than just, you know, grilling your own meat tableside. And that's what our original menu, we featured bulgogi and kalbi, which are, you know, the staple of Korean barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, we brought in the bibimbap, we brought in the soups. Kimchi jjigae is a kimchi-based stew that comes in a hot pot, you know, mm-hmm. some pork and tofu. Mandukguk, which is a dumpling soup, very traditional Korean dish. Actually, recently we've been selling a lot of japchae, which is stir-fried clear potato noodles with mixed vegetables and beef.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
So now, are the menus identical?
Not right now.
Okay.
With the new kitchen, you know, we have a lot more space, so we're able to do a few more items. I mean, you know, a couple of the new dishes like the Daegu Maeyeontang, which is
the codfish stew.
The codfish stew.
Yeah, spicy codfish stew. We're able to move in a lot of fresh seafood because, you know, we have a walk-in now, which, you know, a lot of other restaurants are like,
Well, I think we should explain, you know, the City Vista building, I mean, that area is just exploding. I mean, you have Kushi there and Best mm-hmm. Boys and Poets and the new Safeway is there, and it's just like this whole little... Taylor Gourmet. I mean, it's like this little restaurant
what's
area.
What's great about that, especially the K Street side, is it's all local D.C. businesses.
Right.
And when, you know, we were in talks for the lease, That was the main selling point. Was it was such a cool thing to be a part of.
Right, there's no chains. There's no pot belly. No. I mean, it's really fantastic.
Well, I also think it's important to. I mean, when you're in D.C. and when you're sort of part of that going out singles scene, you know, mm-hmm. that's probably 99% of your traffic. And people, listeners who are out in, you know, Arlington, Alexandria, Bethesda, whatever, and I grew up in Bethesda. We're sort of habituated to staying at home and mm-hmm. eating on Bethesda Row and all that. You got to come downtown. You got to see. These are parts of town that before, you know, there was no reason to go there.
And they're exploding.
That's where I'm going.
I didn't know where you were going with
that. I'm selling Penn Quarter, and I'm selling, you know, City Vista. These areas of town that are just fabulous.
Okay, when we went on last Saturday night to Mandu, the place was packed, and so was Cushy. I mean, people are coming. I mean, they're finding it. I want to talk about the decor, though, because your initial place is sort of, you know, small and cozy,
neighborhoody,
and very neighborhoody. But this is really grand.
Yeah, I mean, the original location, you know, it's in DuPont, right on 18th Street. You know, it's mm-hmm. all converted row houses, historic buildings.
Mm-hmm.
It is very different than what we have now. And that's, you know, was pretty much done on purpose. So we wanted to keep the original one as is, as basically mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go in and it feels like you're coming into our home.
Right.
There's a lot of wood. And again, it's an old house. Everything creaks. With the city,
including mom.
No, she's
yeah.
okay.
Just wanted to know.
She's running well. But with the new location, you know, we had to hire our architecture firm this time around because it was a brand new space. It was an empty cement shell, which for us was really scary because we had no idea what to do with it.
Well, we know the guys you hired.
You bought Grizz Form.
So it was Grizz White and Michelle Bavet, and they knocked it out of the park.
They did.
You know, we had a few meetings initially. Well, we interviewed a ton of different architecture firms, and judging off the work that they'd done in the past and what they presented us with initially, it was, you know, a no-brainer to choose them.
Well, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about some of the designs that they implemented, and I want to talk about Soju Teenies just a little bit, if we have time. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be talking more red wine. We're going to talk about a meatless week and Soju Teenies. We'll be right back.
Farmers and Fishers in Georgetown, the perfect place for your upcoming celebration. Whether it's a luncheon or after-work gathering, cocktail reception, sit-down dinner, or full-scale party, Farmers and Fishers can accommodate you and your guests. Whether your group is 30 or 300, Farmers and Fishers has the right setting for your party. They'll customize a menu and beverage package to suit your taste, plus there are no room rental fees and low package minimums. Contact Lila Dugley for more info or get details at farmersandfishers.com about booking your event.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
Are you a woman between the ages of 35 and 60 with noticeable fine lines and wrinkles? If you answered yes, we're looking for you. We are currently seeking women to try an instant skin-firming serum called Instant Effect. As part of this opportunity, we will send you a free trial of the product, and you may have the chance to appear in a national advertising campaign. To take advantage of this unique opportunity, please call 1-800-500-0365 in the next 10 minutes. Instant Effect is a breakthrough beauty discovery that tightens skin on contact and takes years off your appearance. Simply smooth a lightweight serum on your wrinkles and fine lines and watch as they disappear from view in less than 90 seconds. If you're interested in seeing how young you can look in as little as 90 seconds risk-free, you must call in the next 10 minutes. Instant Effect is now available at Ulta stores, but for this exclusive free radio offer, you must call 1-800-500-0365. Hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. 1-800-500-0365.
That's what I said. Why not call, instead of Mandu, why not call it soul food?
That's actually my first idea, and my mom and sister quickly nixed that.
Oh, well, I love it.
Yeah. That's good advertising.
Music. All right, so guys, we got a couple of minutes. Let's talk about, I mean, some of the elements that I found very intriguing were the sort of traditional cultural Korean facets of the restaurant design that they worked in.
Mm-hmm. The ducks, the memory boxes.
Yeah, so the centerpiece of the restaurant is what separates the bar from the first floor dining room, which is this wooden Korean memory wall. It's comprised of individual, basically boxes that were individually handmade specifically for us. We didn't buy them. The co-workers individually made each one. I think there's over 100 of them. And what's supposed to represent culturally is a lot of Korean households have, you know, a small set of wooden boxes or drawers where they keep, you know, some, you know, memorable family material, you know, little trinkets.
We have one.
It's called our junk drawer.
Yeah.
You know, so we wanted to have just some subtle Korean influences in terms of design. It wasn't, you know, over the top, you know, bashing on the head, you know, Korean, but it was just
No, it's actually a beautiful story. I mean, it's a nice story what the boxes represent, and mm-hmm. it's just massive floating wall in the middle of the restaurant.
Well, the key, these guys, I mean, Gris did Blacks in Bethesda, and he did Proof. He did a bunch.
Sonoma.
He loves wood, and that's the thing that I love about his designs. He really makes great use of all kinds of natural woods.
Yeah, what we wanted to do with the design, and again, with what they, you know, basically ran with, was we wanted to, since it was a new building, we wanted to expand our concept a bit more, modernize it, but at the same time keeping true to who we are. You know, we wanted to keep it as a neighborhood restaurant and keep that feel from the DuPont neighborhood and move it down, you know, move it downtown.
Well, it's a beautiful meal in a beautiful space. Tell everybody where both restaurants are because we're running out of time.
All right, the original is on in DuPont on 1805 18th Street Northwest, mm-hmm. 18th and S. And the new one is at City Vista, which is 453 K Street.
All right.
On King between 4th and 5th.
Cool.
Great. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Go back over to Jordan.
Yep, and I'm going to switch you guys
Jordan.
Out.
I want to do something special for Nikki for Valentine's Day, aside from just being her husband, which is special enough.
Which is what I get almost every year.
I know.
It's very exciting.
But what are you guys doing out there for Valentine's Day at the winery?
We're trying to mix in the whole tasting experience and the fun of a winery into a little bit of a Valentine's thing. We normally have what we call our premier taste, where we bring out some limited wines, do food, little food pieces beside it. But for Valentine's Day, we're separating it up and doing it as couples tastings and just having a fun time with that. And then there's a neat little package where we're partnering with Lansdowne Resort and their great restaurant on the Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're hoping that people are going to come out to us, do a little tasting, get some chocolate and wine to end the evening with. But on their way home, definitely going to Lansdowne because the meal is going to be spectacular there as well. Great five-course meal where they're going to be pairing up with some Tarara wines for, I guess it's going to be pretty cool.
Will you be there for it? Are you going to be walking people through it?
I will be at the winery aspect, so I'll be helping out with some of the couples' tastings as they're going through. You know, I won't be at Lansdowne.
Okay, no. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Now, tell us a little bit about what you poured here.
This is kind of going on the same line. This is another single vineyard, but this is our estate vineyard called Navaya.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I mean, it is predominantly Viognier, but with a touch of Chardonnay, but it's trying to show the difference of sight. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's the same year, you know, similar grape varieties, just... you know, showcasing the difference. I mean, we have a much lower altitude, so it tends to be a little bit warmer, softer acidity.
It doesn't have as much mineral
on
the back,
yeah, it doesn't.
Right?
It's not as mineral-driven. It's more fruit-driven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has some cedary tones as well because both are done in barrel. But, this is very characteristic of what our estate vineyard tends to show with Viognier.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
You ready to go the next
route?
All right. So, now we've talked about the fact that our family does Meatless Monday in our house and that it's not an easy thing for us to do as carnivores, but we do it because it's good for the environment and it's good for our health. But this week, it is going to be not meatless. It is
meat-free
week. The entire week, restaurants and bars and different vendors are doing meat-free meals and dinners and book signings all around the city. And we have brought in Amber McDonald.
Hello.
How are you?
Great, thank
with
you.
DC Vegan.
Yes.
To talk about how this week got started and what you can look forward to. And we also have Doran Peterson. She is with Sticky Fingers Bakery. They're the only vegan bakery in D.C., is that correct?
That is correct.
So we're going to find out all about this. So let's start with you, Amber.
Yes.
Tell us about how this week came to be.
Well, D.C. participated in Meat Week for mm-hmm. the first time last year.
Okay.
And I heard about it about
it was it was last week.
Well, last week, but their first year was
last year.
Mm-hmm. And I had first heard about Meat Week in the middle of Meat Week last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I was kind of horrified as a vegan and as a foodie, a little jealous because mm-hmm. I want a week of meals catered to me and, sure. and opportunities to try new things. So I thought, why don't we do an alternative viewpoint and have a meat-free week?
Mm-hmm.
So I grabbed some people, and we actually managed to put together an entire week's worth of restaurants in about a day and a half. And knowing it was coming this year, we had a little more time. We have
right.
we've added speakers to the lineup,
mm-hmm.
A lot of great fundraising opportunities. On Monday, there's a five-course dinner with 50% of the proceeds going to Miriam's Kitchen.
Wow.
There's lots of other great opportunities all week long to try great food and eat for a great cause.
Well, let me ask you a question. When we say meat-free,
mm-hmm.
are we saying no dairy? I mean, what does that, what is it, what does the umbrella encompass? What does it mean?
We're offering both vegan and vegetarian options at the various restaurants.
Okay.
Some of the specials are vegan only. For example, Monday's five-course vegan dinner.
Is that at Naj? Is that the restaurant?
That is at uh-huh. Naj, yeah. They've been great. Very excited about that.
We actually brought the chef in here when they started their Meatless Monday menu because so few people were doing it at the time. And it's so great to see more and more restaurants picking up the slack on that.
And he's very excited. It's something he believes in a lot. And he is excited for the challenge of a five-course vegan meal.
I bet. Okay, Sticky Fingers.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
So, okay, vegan baking. As a baker, I love to bake. I don't even know how you do it.
Well, surprisingly, it's not that tricky.
Okay.
It's all of the same concepts mm-hmm. of traditional baking mm-hmm. applied without eggs and without dairy.
Right.
And
it's the butter. It's not the egg so much as it is the butter for me. Like, I just couldn't. You know, like you have these beautiful cupcakes here, and I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, how do you not have butter?
Well, that part's magic.
It's just magic, right? It just magically appears.
Yes. Well, there are so many great products on the market right now that are free from hydrogenated oils and mm-hmm. that have really rich buttery flavors using olive oils and products from palm and other mixtures of canola oils. And you can really get a nice, rich, fluffy flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And also, a lot of these products are organic. So they really just meet the needs
for everyone.
So how are they in terms of calories and cholesterol and all of that?
Everything we do is free from cholesterol because we don't use animal products at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're clear with. Slightly lighter in calories overall, but not much. We're still using flour and sugar, and we are using fat. It is lower in saturated fat, so it's healthier for you. And the fats that we use are generally monounsaturated fats.
So if I ate this whole tray of five cupcakes and all that, I would
as
be
as the drool goes down his
which
plate.
I will do anyways, it would be about
half. He pretends it's hypothetical.
Right. That's right. Well, not if. When?
Well, there's always a healthier aspect to our to each product,
mm-hmm.
To each of our treats. Overall, you're still going to get the calories. So while
the heck with it.
Right, exactly.
Really
so while they might not cause you to have some horrible, you know, issue or disease or that might be associated with eating excess butter and excess animal products, they're still caloric. But like, for instance, we use a lot of nuts and we mm-hmm. use a lot of, like, for instance, peanut butter, and we use fresh strawberries. This frosting is made with fresh strawberry puree, and
mm-hmm.
our carrot cake is fresh organic carrots and walnuts, and our sticky bun, which is our most popular product, hands down, loaded with walnuts.
Well, let me ask a question. For you guys...
Wait, I have a question.
Okay. I want to ask this. For you guys, is all of this more of a health thing, or is it an animal thing, or is it both?
When I was in school for nutrition and dietetics, I was vegan. But I was really interested in the nutritional aspects of food, generally speaking. So while I personally was vegan, the nutritional aspect of cooking and of food, I'm a foodie at heart. I'm Jewish and Italian. I just can't get away from
the
food.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I have
the best combination ever.
So what do you you're on yourself all the time?
All the time. I feel extremely guilty for eating everything all the time. But that is also my mission, to be able to eat everything I want to eat.
Eat.
Constantly.
No.
Totally. So, you know, I have my entire family and genealogy behind me making sure that I come up with tasty and delicious products.
What put you on the vegan path?
The animal issues.
The animal agriculture
issues, mm-hmm. hands down. Personally, for me, it was about the treatment and about how they were raised. And I grew up in small town New York, so I saw, you know, the ideal farm, you know, mm-hmm. hand milking of cows, hand raising of chickens. And that's not how the majority of
no, our, not the big ag. Right.
Yeah. So that's what turned me off. And I said, you know, if I don't want to partake in this, there's other people that don't. And then also the allergy aspect, where so many more allergies are coming up and so many more kids are having allergies to eggs and dairy, which are extremely high allergens. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, we also do a lot of gluten-free. Gluten is a huge sensitivity and allergen right now.
Well, I want to talk about that, but Amber, I'm curious about you. When did you become vegan, and how did – you're going to have to come closer to the mic, please. I'm sorry, you're further away.
Oh, sure.
But when did you become vegan, and how did you not just take on being vegan for your own personal use, but decide to sort of trumpet it and, you know, write about it and talk about it and start this week? How'd you get involved with that?
I was initially inspired by the animal issue as well, and okay. I was shocked, frankly, when I realized – that I had just had no clue what I had been putting in my body mm-hmm. and the treatment that these animals go through in order for us to eat their products. Mm-hmm. And I just read everything I could about it and realized that the issue is so much broader than the animal welfare issue or animal rights issue. It also has to do with my health. I was on high blood pressure medication at 30.
I was going to say, you're so young. Why would you be on high blood pressure medication?
Just from...
Because she had high blood pressure.
And I'm off
Thank
of that
you,
now.
Thank you, Mr. Obvious. Yes. Okay.
Since taking the vegan diet, I've lost weight. I'm off my high blood pressure medication. My skin is better. I feel better. There's this lighter feeling that you have more energy.
But was it, as a carnivore, was it hard? Did you just go cold turkey? Did you first do vegetarian and then do, you know, no eggs, no dairy? I mean, how'd you do it?
I have kind of a weirder story because for me, I made the connection with cows. I have a dog who's amazing, and I read some short article that said that cows have the same intelligence and emotional capacity as dogs.
Okay.
And knowing what I know about modern eggs.
No. I know, don't tell him. We're big dog lovers, so.
Well, basically, modern dairy farms are run like puppy mills for cows. And I thought, I can't do that anymore.
Well, you know, it's hard because we're so inculcated with the meat culture that we found a quote yesterday from Paul McCartney that said if all slaughterhouses had glass walls, everyone would be a vegetarian.
Absolutely true.
And it's you know, knowing that, it's still very hard to give it up. Like when I heard there was going to be a meat-free week, I know we got to take a break, but I was like, why? You know, well, most restaurants have some sort of meat-free option, but it's probably just roasted veggies and stuff. So when we come back, we want to find out.
We do want to talk more about that. I mean, we want to talk about what the options are out there, how it's growing, and how this week will help educate those who may be more interested. So this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Rise and shine with Founding Farmers. Choose from farm fresh eggs, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, waffles made to order, an amazing array of side orders like thick cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house made jams and jellies with Intelligentsia coffees, tea salon teas, fresh hand squeezed juices, and eye opening libations. You've got a real breakfast. Founding Farmers, 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. Open weekdays from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. for breakfast. See the menus and make reservations directly at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Does a rolling stone gather no moss? No moss. You're gonna have to trust me on this one.
Switch to GEICO now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard, in cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
Why are we playing this? It's been one week, man.
All right, welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Got Amber McDonald from DC Vegan and Doran Peterson from Sticky Fingers Bakery.
And we are eating such delicious treats.
We're talking about meat-free week. Mm-hmm. And quickly, how many restaurants are participating?
There are, I think we're up to 10 restaurants.
All in DC?
And that's counting Food Truck Day as one. There are, I believe, 7 different food trucks participating.
Food Truck Day? When is it?
Food Truck Day is Thursday. Mm-hmm. A ton of food trucks, pork, ironically, Eat Wonky, DC Slices, Folger Brothers, Dangerously Delicious, and the Sweet Flowmobile all have specials on their vegetarian and vegan offerings. And DC Slices is debuting a new vegan mini pizza.
So right. Does that mean they'll not only have vegan offerings, but they will also donate money? Is it two components or just one?
That particular day is just the specials, mm-hmm. and to highlight the vegetarian and vegan options that they have on their menus.
Okay.
Where can people go on the web to find out, exactly who's participating and the hours and the menus and all that?
If you go to dcvegan.com, there is the full lineup there. And also every day we're going to go through the restaurant, give you a little bit more about the details of what's going on that particular day and new additions that we're constantly getting. We're getting contacts now from restaurants who say, hey, we have great vegan offerings too. Let's participate.
Each day on the list, or you want .com's calendar, we have every event that is going on. So that's another place where you can go and reach that. Fantastic. Okay, can we talk Cupcake Wars?
Yes.
Because Sticky Fingers is in Cupcake Wars,
yes,
right?
Yes, we are.
When is that?
We are, we're the season finale.
It's so exciting.
It's so exciting.
I'm already nervous for you.
I am so nervous.
Wait a minute. Don't you already know?
Yes, of course you know, but you can't talk about it.
No, you're just nervous in general.
I'm nervous for everybody to see how insane and fun it is. It's going to be amazing.
But were you just the only vegan option?
No, on this show there were two of us.
Oh, wow. That's kind of cool that they did it that way.
That's all my aunts.
So were you hitting each other with heads of lettuce?
Yeah. Yes, we were just throwing vegetables everywhere. As you can tell by the taste of the cupcake that you're eating, it's very, very true to a chocolate cupcake.
It
There's
is?
No lettuce in it. No lettuce.
No lettuce.
It's delicious. It's minty.
But can you just tell us how you do the frosting?
Sure.
How do you do frostings without butter?
We use the products that we use, name brand, is Earth Balance Margarine.
Oh, okay.
And it's their vegan buttery spread. Mm-hmm. And then we use the Earth Balance shortening sticks. Mm-hmm. And we do an equal blend of that. And we add our sugar and we add our liquid and we add our flavorings. And so it just really depends on the flavor that you want.
So are you constantly experimenting?
Constantly.
I bet. It's like a science experiment.
It's so much fun.
Huh. We can do this.
We cannot do it.
There's also tofu cream cheese. Or cream cheese-based mm-hmm. frosting.
Yeah, our carrot cake has it's a cream cheese-style frosting, and it's made with a tofu-y cream cheese, which is also non-hydrogenated oil.
Can I give it a try?
Yeah, go for it.
Because
go ahead.
I just want to know, because I have my body is one-third cream cheese.
He eats a lot of it. And sour cream. So there you go.
It's tasty stuff.
All right. So one last time, tell people the website where they can find it.
DCVegan.com.
Excellent. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, and you happen to pour, Jordan, a gorgeous red to go with that delicious... Is that cake or cupcake? What am I eating, Doran?
This is our triple chocolate brownie. It's actually called our Fudgetastic Brownie.
It's delicious.
It has organic coffee in it and 3 types of chocolate covered in... that's our s'mores. So it's covered in marshmallows, which actually don't have gelatin, dark chocolate... Dark, extra dark chocolate.
It goes perfectly with the red.
Perfectly.
I just have to say.
Our products pair very well with any type of wine out there.
Awesome.
You should pair our products with all of your wines.
Absolutely.
I think that's a meat-free week event for next year. We'll have to do a pairing.
With wine pairings, that's a great idea. I love when we do a little business networking here on the show.
And I think that is actually important because, a lot of people also don't realize with wines that there are oftentimes animal products used with wine. So it's cool to make sure you check that out beforehand.
Mm-hmm. I just want to know how I can monetize the whole thing and make a lot of money off it.
Of course you do. Good luck with that.
So, Jordan, I want to find out about this wine, but I also want to find out, because you guys have a wine club.
Yeah.
And, when you, in retail, when they have the tie of the month club, basically you sign up, you're going to get a nice, they're going to send you a tie from Nordstrom or whatever. Is that pretty much it? You're going to send a bottle that Jordan Harris has selected, or are there, as with a club membership, do I get seminars and do I get on-location stuff?
Yeah, there's so many things that people do with wine clubs. I mean, people have gotten really creative because they have become such a booming part of the wine industry. Mm-hmm. I think it's not just the idea of getting the wine or anything like that. It's also going with just the way people are today. You want to know more about where your food and where your wine is coming from. You want to know the people that are involved. So people really like the concept of, you know, hey, Jordan picked out our wines, not just we're getting a bottle of Tarara or so on and so forth. They like to have the feeling of that person on the other end. So we do make a specific wine that goes with each of the shipments with us, where it's three wines per quarter that they get, but one of those wines is made just for the wine club. We do an interesting blend or a varietal that we're experimenting with or so on and so forth. And then absolutely there's, you know, loyalty pieces to it. For us, we make sure that our wine club members all get season pass tickets to our concert series as well for two people. Anytime they come in, they get complimentary tastings. We have a lounge that we set up for them for every Sunday so that, you know, they don't need to be stuck in the chaos of a tasting room. They can, you know, relax on couches, hang out. It's more than just getting a bottle of wine in most wineries now. It's more about loyalty and understanding the people that are behind the wine.
Well, it sounds like a real process. I mean, it sounds like you get really invested in the process of the wines.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and you had mentioned before, I mean, Virginia Wine Lovers thing, I mean, that's the concept behind, you know, the Virginia Wine Lover, and it mixes in with wine clubs, is wanting to really showcase your passion of the product. And, you know, I think it's kind of contagious when your wine club members or anyone comes in and you show your true excitement about the wines that you're doing and the vineyards you're dealing with. You know, they want to feel that. And it's funny with wine. Everyone always says, you know, you have such a great job. And I do have an awesome job. It's wicked. But, you know, they want to feel like they're out in the vineyards and that they had a part in the making the wine, and they do. You know, we try to bring our wine.
That's the club I want to be a member of.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to go from, because we were talking about soil before, and I want to go from wine real quick to olive oil.
Olive oil.
Okay. So Keith Voigt is from All Things Olive, and we see Keith regularly at the Kensington Farmers Market. Apparently he was there yesterday. I don't know why.
It was raining yesterday.
But and I guess we're going to see you at the International Wine and Food Festival down at the Reagan Building next weekend. But I guess a question for you, and maybe you can jump in, Jordan, is soil a key element? There are olive oils from Greece and Turkey and Italy and all that, and they all taste different. What's driving that?
Yeah, soil, I guess to a degree, I'm not sure exactly how much it is relevant. Certainly the location, and I'm focusing on California oils and the oils near the coast. The climate might have a bigger factor than the oils made in the interior valley or up in Northern California.
How did you get involved with olive oils?
Well, it was just my wife and I were in Paris and we saw a shop dedicated to olive oil, and it kind of planted the seed. And then over time, I had a passion, which, you know, really grew into an obsession.
Sounds very healthy. Olive oil is healthy.
It probably is very healthy.
Yeah, it is healthy. So it just grew, and then we started at Kensington in 2004, and now we're at 8 markets.
All right, so how's it made?
Unlike any other oil, olive oil is unique in that you don't need any heat or chemicals. You can just pick an olive, press it, and you got the oil, and you can eat it. And
that easy? I used to live near an olive grove in Florence. I would stole olives.
What a waste
olives.
Of time, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's olives, a fruit whose juice is an oil. And as a fruit, it comes into early fall, olives are green. Late fall, early winter, olives are black. And as the color, as the fruit ripens and matures, the flavor is going to change as well. And the growers will know that, and they'll press it. If you want a more robust, hardy, leafy green oil, you'll be picking and pressing olives earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. If you want a milder, a little bit buttery, more delicate oil, you'll be pressing.
So you don't have to wait. When you see an olive, you can take it and press it.
Yes, if you do that, that's essentially extra virgin. Virgin oil is good. No one ever talks about virgin oil. But
virgin oil is better for cooking. I mean, most chefs will say that you really shouldn't cook with extra virgin oil because the heat index
The best reason not to cook with extra virgin is that you lose the flavor.
Right. Well,
what's
it's
the
a
difference
waste.
Between virgin, extra virgin, and then a slutty
right. in the United States,
olive oil?
In the United States, David, nothing at all.
Really?
There was no definition at all for extra virgin until last October.
Really?
In the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
So it was marketing.
It was.
I like it.
Anything and everything could be extra virgin, but there is a definition. It just doesn't happen to be in the United States,
right? Because in Europe, it's all regulated, right?
Yeah, they have extra virgin refers to the acidity of the oil, which is a kind of a measure of how ripe the fruit was when it was pressed, and also most importantly, according to a third party, there are no taste or odor defects.
All right. Well, let me ask you about the International Wine and Food Festival, because you're going to be there. That's February 12th and 13th at the Reagan Building. Happy birthday, Ronnie, by the way.
Yes. So now what made you decide to, I mean, is this your first year participating in the event? Like, what brought you to the event?
No, we were there last year, and I actually have a tasting. I'd like to encourage all your audience
to come out. Well, that's what I was going to ask. What will you be doing exactly?
On Saturday the 12th at 2:30, we'll be doing a tasting for 100 or so olive oil fans.
And so what do? You just...
We pour out a sample. There's broadly four flavor groups of olive oil, I like to call. And we'll give a sample starting from the more delicate and buttery all the way up to the what I call the leafy green and grassy.
Well, I'm seeing one here, Zinfandel.
These are two wine vinegars. And just like olive oil, it's all about the olive. And you rarely see the olive type listed on the label. And that's because it has no meaning here in the U.S. because it's all been processed and refined. But real olive oil, it's all about the olive. Just like you would.
You mean like
the
kind of olive? Like when you go to Whole Foods and you can buy all the different kind of olives?
Well, it'll say extra virgin olive oil, and it doesn't matter because it's going to be a refined product.
Right.
But in reality, just like you wouldn't use a green apple in place of a red apple in certain recipes, you wouldn't use some of these olive oils in place of others.
You mean as far as like finishing off a dish, like pouring it at the end of the dish?
The real stuff has a flavor, and you want to match that up, and you can match it up with food. And again, looking at maybe a more buttery, delicate olive oil with, say, scrambled eggs or mashed potatoes or popcorn.
Right.
And a little bit more robust oil with a roast or a steak. The flavor will come through.
And how do you go about selecting your products?
Well, these are, again, all California. And California has if I can show you, they have a third party, the California Olive Oil Council.
Okay.
And I'm happy to say I'm the sole East Coast member of the California.
Congratulations.
It's 300 or so members, and we are food, not only olive oil producers, but food writers, chefs, restaurant owners, all who are dedicated to promoting California olive oil.
Neat.
And we pick oils, and you'll see on the bottles, they'll have this seal on the bottle. Every year, California certifies those that are extra virgin, and the customer knows because of the seal.
Well, we have to take a little break, but when we come back, I want to taste some of these olive oils so we can see exactly what you're talking about. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be drinking some more Virginia wines, and we're going to be talking about the International Wine and Food Festival in just a sec. We'll be
The following statement has been authorized by Credit Guard of America. A nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt. If you owe $2,000 or more to the credit card companies and are seeking relief, you are invited to call the toll-free helpline now for free information. 1-800-300-3320. This service is provided by Credit Guard of America, a nonprofit organization. The free helpline offers programs that allow you to cut your payments by up to half of what you're currently paying and reduce your debt to much less than you owe. Call the toll-free helpline now for free information at 1-800-300-3320. Again, a nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt of $2,000 or more. Members of the public wanting to learn how to get debt-free and stay debt-free are urged to call the national toll-free helpline now for free information and assistance at 1-800-300-3320. That's 1-800-300-3320.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-500-2884. For your free CD, call 1-800-500-2884. 1-800-500-2884.
Hey, hey. All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast. And we're
talking
start
rolling around on the ground.
Virgin olive oil. But before we do that, I just want to do a quick shout-out to the sponsors that make this show possible and make our TV show on TVD possible. The folks at Neighborhood Restaurant Group, Rustico, Evening Star, Tallulah,
Church Vermillion, Key, Birch and Barley,
go
Planet
ahead.
Wine.
Steal my thunder. Sorry. Here. People at Founding Farmers and Farmers and Fishers down on the Georgetown Harbor. Mm-hmm. And our new friends from Potomac Hospitality who own Dish and Noti Bianche and Circle Bistro. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Va bene, allora. So, Keith, you've poured a bunch of olive oils here, and we're going to do an olive oil tasting. Tell us what we've got here.
The first one I've got is Apollo Mistral. Apollo is a small, as all these producers are, a small olive oil producer in Northern California, kind of on the way to Lake Tahoe. Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'd like to be, on the way mm-hmm. to Lake Tahoe.
Oh, it smells really grassy.
This is French olives. Picholine is predominant. It's grown in California and produced there. I know we just met, but give this a good slurp. You're supposed to kind of warm it up in your hands just to get the aroma first.
Okay.
Yeah. And then give it a good slurp so you get it.
Slurp drink or slurp dip?
Slurp. No, don't. That's afterwards.
Oh,
we can use
that's
it
a
to clear
palate
your palate.
Cleanser. What do I know? All right, here goes.
All right. And that is a... That's a late harvest oil that's mm-hmm. pressed in December. And again, French olives. And we would match that up with milder dishes.
Is it chicken. A little peppery? Am I?
Well, you're going to get two flavors. One is the fruit up front. And mm-hmm. then in the back, you get the pepper bitterness, or the Italians call pizzicata.
Mm-hmm.
That is two things. That is the polyphenol, the good stuff in the oil. That's the antioxidants. Mm-hmm. And also, it's kind of an indicator of freshness. That and the flavor will diminish as these oils
get older. Discovered something. Maybe I have no palate for wine at all. Maybe I do for olive oil. How about that, babe?
All right. Well, so Diane Murphy is here, and she is part of this International Wine and Food Festival event. Diane, there's so much going on. I mean, we certainly can't discuss every aspect of it. But can you give us just some of the highlights of next week's event? Because I know there are still some tickets available.
Oh, there are definitely tickets available. And you can get tickets by going to wineandfooddc.com.
Mm-hmm. I am actually giving away two sets of tickets on Twitter next week.
Absolutely. And we have a great demo stage with chefs from around the area. So we've got mm-hmm. Mike Isabella, Carla Hall, Joe Yonan, and Bonnie Benwick from the Washington Post are going to be there.
Excellent.
Nathan Thurston from Kiowa. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday, we've got Ramon Naveras, Victor from BLT, Gina Scherzavani, mm-hmm. and Scott Druno from Source.
Source.
Are all going to be there.
So they're doing demonstrations
they
on a big
are.
Stage.
They
and then
are.
Tell us about the big tasting room, because I think people really want to hear what that is.
We're just going to have international wines from all over 100 displays, and mm-hmm. they said something like 600 different wines that are
being
going to be
poured.
Shared.
Yeah. And that's on both days?
Definitely.
And then Saturday, is there Sunday. A marketplace, too? How does it
there
work?
There is. There. We have all kinds of other food purveyors mm-hmm. and food-related people that are going to be there. So,
Keith, how do you fit into this? Are you going to be there for both days? Are you just doing a demo? How does it work?
We have a booth there both days, and I will also be doing a tasting on Saturday the 12th at 2:30.
At 2:30.
So I invite everybody to come out, and they can taste. We'll have the four oils. I also have some wonderful wine vinegars for everybody to sample.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for bringing all this in. It was really nice learning about it. And everybody should head to the International Wine and Food Festival next weekend. If you haven't bought your Valentine's Day gift yet, this could be the perfect one for your foodie, don't you think?
I think.
Well,
I guess that was a hint.
Am I going? Is that what you're taking me?
No, but you're going by yourself.
Oh, so okay. Even better. That is the best Valentine's Day gift of all.
So, Jordan, let's go back to you for a second and talk about... Now, is this a wine from Terrera?
Yeah, both of these were wines from Terrera. The first one I poured earlier, that was our Navaja, so that's our estate vineyard blend again, but it's our red. So trying to get the characteristics of the style of vineyard. And then the second one is from our Commonwealth collection, because we're such believers in the whole local and promoting everything that are the growers that we come from. We came up with this new level, the Commonwealth Collection, which is Supernova, Casanova, and Terra Nova, you know, the whole Northern Virginia thing. We thought we were pretty clever.
We should be playing Oasis in the background or anything.
So this one's the Supernova, which is actually from Mountain View Vineyard. And what each of them are is a selection of the best barrels from each of the vineyards. So Supernova, we came up with that name because we needed another Nova. Terra Nova is Earth in Northern Virginia for Tranquility Vineyard. Uh-huh. And then Casanova Home, that's our estate vineyard. So, and these are just, they're cool wines we put out there. They're on an allocation and wait list now at this point. So they got very popular.
Well, can you explain what that means?
Yeah, it's really popular with a lot of California wineries, but it hasn't happened so much yet in Virginia. Mm-hmm. It is growing, though. I mean, with the push that's been happening, Virginia wines be getting a lot more popular. The quality has gone through the roof in the past few years, mm-hmm. and people are more proud of them. So what it is it's a program where it starts off generally with a limited edition wine or limited quantity wine, and you'll taste them. I mean, for our first vintage, we taste them as barrel samples. People came in, we just took a sample of the barrel, they tried it, and they were able to secure futures. So they paid for them then, so that when they were bottled, they were able to come pick them up. And then the way the allocation program works is once they're sold out,
They're sold out. There's nothing left.
And those people that bought them the first year, they have the opportunity to buy the next vintage before uh-huh. anybody else. And then you develop a wait list. So if somebody, you know, for whatever reason, they move away,
dies.
Can't get the wine, then the next person comes up. Yeah, some of the wineries, it's funny, you know, some of the wineries
there
in
has
California.
To be a better way.
There are wineries in California where it's been in divorce settlements who gets the allocation of certain wines. So we haven't had that yet, but I'm working on it.
Okay, well, in our...
Does your wife know?
Well, that's very cool. I mean, I don't think a lot of people, because you hear about like Bordeaux Futures. Mm-hmm. You know, when those wines are being tasted, it's great to hear that Virginia is ready for that next step.
Well, let me jump in because we're running out of time. I want people to know how to find you geographically and on the web as well. So why don't you hit us with that information?
Yeah, well, it's pretty easy at www.terrara.com, TARARA. Mm-hmm. You know, that has our address. We're about 8 miles north of Leesburg, so just an hour outside of the district. Pretty easy going. We do get a lot of people from the district because it's fairly close by. And then, you know, Facebook, you could just go to Terrara Winery and, join the page. You'll see all sorts of stuff. And at Twitter, on Twitter, it's at Terrara Winery. So
and you guys do lots of like giveaways and promotions and things like that,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're really trying to bring in the whole thing. Electronically, mm-hmm. social media is, you know, it's a huge part. Everybody wants to see what's happening.
Well, that's a perfect segue to the next thing I want to say, which is that there's so much more to know about and to do. I mean, you hear about the International Wine and Food Festival. You want all the details on that and on everything else happening in the greater D.C. area, Virginia, Maryland. You go to the listareyouonit.com. It's free to subscribe. It's all there. It's hundreds of listings of events and activities, articles and stuff. Mm-hmm. Why not go there? Why
Absolutely.
Not? You can also follow Nikki on Twitter, and she tweets out all kinds of, you know, what's happening next kind of information. And every Sunday you can listen to her at 12:50 on WTOP.
Actually, I'm going to be talking about Super Bowl. So if you haven't made plans for your Super Bowl yet, there are restaurants all around the city hosting incredible parties. So we'll be talking about that and the International Wine Food Festival
in
just a little bit.
And if you're watching this on TV next week, I hope you had a good Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
So, okay, I want to thank our guests, Jordan Harris of Terrara Winery, and Danny Lee and Jay Kang of Mandu, Amber McDonald and Sticky Fingers Bakeries, Doran Peterson, who are here to talk about Meat Free Week, and Keith Voigt of All Things Olive.
And Diane Murphy.
Well, who would forget Diane?
How could you forget Diane? Well, you didn't introduce her. You just left her hanging out over there.
Why didn't you introduce her?
I did.
It's always my fault. It's always the guy's fault.
Okay, so as we do on every show, we like to feature a specific charity. And this week's charity is?
Well, it's Compassion Over Killing. Mm-hmm. It's a nonprofit animal advocacy organization based in Washington, and they're working to end animal abuse. They focus on cruelty to animals in agriculture, and they promote the vegetarian eating profile, really, mm-hmm. as a way to build a kinder world for the human and non-human world. You can go to www.cok.net.
Yes. And we did pick that thanks to Amber McDonald, because I'd never heard of the organization before, and they're doing very good things. As we also do on every show, we like to leave you with a little quote.
I love this quote. It's from David Brenner, my favorite humanitarian, uh-huh. who said, "A vegetarian is a person who won't eat anything that can have children."
Don't eat meat! I have a wife and kids! Eat them!
Oh. Andy, you had a lot of fun today finding clips. All right, well, we want to thank all of our guests, and next week we have a terrific show. Don't we?
Yeah, we got Chandon Champagne coming in and That's Jacques Herringer from L'Auberge Chez François.
It's going to be a Valentine's-y kind of show.
Or if you people are reading it, it's Chez Francois.
Yeah.
And Project 68's coming in. It's apparently a very exclusive pop-up restaurant that's coming to D.C.
So we're going to find out all about it. Have a delicious week.
See you next week.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
The following is a special presentation on the Washington Capitals Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bruce Boudreau.
Hi, this is Mike Green.
Hi, this is Mike Knuble.
Hi, this is Brooks Like, and you're listening to the Washington Capitals Radio Network.
Game on from the nation's capital.
A final score 4-1, 11 straight wins for the Capitals, a new franchise record, and for Alex Ovechkin, career point number 500 in the National Hockey League. Nicklas Backstrom in overtime, and the Capitals battle for 3 goals down and win in overtime in Chicago.
This is Washington Capitals Hockey, presented by Capital One Bank, by the Front Page Restaurant in Arlington, by Ticketmaster Ticket Exchange, the official ticket resale partner of the Caps, by Intelligent Decisions, solutions powered by innovation, by Chipotle, by your local Ford dealer, by the Nuclear Energy Institute, nuclear, clean.